several thoughts today that I wanted to bring to our attention. And they center around the things pertaining to the time of the end and different events that lead up to this particular time. And I've chosen today a passage of scripture familiar to, I guess, all from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and I would like to start with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Pausing there for just a moment, there is much in the scripture pertaining to the day of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord, the time of the end, and all different titles of this nature. But we find in this particular reading here, it says that the day of the Lord would come as a thief in the night. And what I would like to show today, that there is sufficient scripture that evidences the fact that there are many things will show that people will think everything is just as it always has been. Many people will think that way. That really maybe the time of the end is way off, way in some distant future time. And really, as we read this scripture, it is up to us to weigh each one of these things and to see different things that will take place. They're carefully placed here for our benefit, and if we will avail ourselves of them, we can be enlightened because we do it. If we fail to do it, then we will not be able to put things together in their proper retrospect. But there are things that will take place. But when we live in a time when these things are taking place, then we want to be alert and aware of what is about us. Here is another one of the things of a certain day. It says, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In fact, we live in a day wherein the cry is peace and safety, wherein much is attempted to be done to remove war, at least supposedly by some to remove war. But when we analyze it very carefully and very completely, we can see that really this has a false resemblance to the real thing. Because actually, when they say peace, we got to be aware of the fact that there really isn't even peace upon the face of our earth today. Even though outside of a few peoples, maybe in Africa and a few others that are warring, the number warring is not large at this particular time. And we have, especially our nation, has attempted to arrive at things supposedly that would bring peace. And yet, if we are really aware of the scriptures, we can see that this will not solve their purpose. And another thing of our day is, the prophet Nahum said, to be alert in all this and to fortify thyself mightily. And so the United States of America has gotten into a place of false security. Not all, but many in responsible positions, thinking they can deal with disreputable people who are of communistic nature and thinking that they will do their part of an agreement. And really, a little later, I want to bring in some of this as part of the perils of our day, and it's called truce breakers. We can sign any number of pacts and truces. But when we find people underhandedly breaking these pacts and truces, then we know that we are in a day when we better be alert. And so I just wanted to bring this out to show that we want to be careful, because one of the things that tells of the time of the end is when they shall say peace and safety. And so we must not let this lure us into a position of security, of false security. I would like to turn to before I complete this and read a few verses from the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, because I believe at least indirectly this applies to our day. It applied to another people, granted. But a lot of times you can draw a parallel from what has already taken place. This is found in Jeremiah 6, 14 through 15. And we might go into a bit of the background of this because we find the prophet here speaking concerning those at Jerusalem and those areas round about it, wherein they were becoming ripe in iniquity, so to speak. They had much evil among them, and unless they repented, we know that certain things would happen to them. We know another prophet that prophesied in this general area, and that was the prophet Lehi. And he prophesied in Jerusalem, unless they repented, certain things would take place. And we know that the certain things did take place because these people failed to repent. And in verse 12 it says, their houses shall be turned unto others. And then on verse 14 it says, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given unto covetousness. And this was a people that Lehi spoke to, that Jeremiah spoke to. And from the prophet even to the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Now this is kind of a sad state to be in, wherein they couldn't even trust their priests and their prophets. But notice verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that's why I say, really, this happened then, but it's another parallel today. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination, these people? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall, and that at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So this happened to a people. And really, when you analyze it closely, how fitting Jeremiah could even have said it to our day. This very thing. We find today that people are not ashamed when they commit many abominable things. Neither could they blush. This happened then, it's happening today. It is something to think of what people do today and what maybe 20, 30 years ago they might have turned red over, but today it seems like many things has become a part of our society. And so again, we need to be aware and alert of our day, lest we be led away into a carnal security. And the really only security is spiritual security. I would like to turn back again to 1 Thessalonians 5 and pick up a little of 3 and then read verse 4 and 5. But when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and then skipping on down. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. It said it would come as a thief when least expected, but he says, you, brethren, are not in darkness. And why wouldn't these particular ones be not in darkness? Because they would avail themselves of the truths of the Scriptures and the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the things that pertain to the end and the time that precedes the end. They'd be aware of these things. They would have searched the Scriptures and know. Therefore, I skipped a verse, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. And this might need a little clarification here, because this shows a responsibility of those who believe in Jesus Christ and follow Him. If they don't walk in darkness, then they're the children of the light. And I have a scripture in Moroni, the 7th chapter, that I would like to tie to that one. And let us think upon it. It's in verses 17 and 18 on page 765. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ? Now here is this light that we're speaking about here. It says, and are the children of light, and this light would be of Jesus Christ. See that you do not judge wrongfully, for with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. So how careful we have to be in our judging of peoples. We must always be willing and able to judge wrongdoing and sin, but it isn't ours to condemn people. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if you lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, you certainly will be a child of Christ. And there is the place we want to be found in, a child of Christ. We want to search diligently in the light of Christ that we might know the way, that we might know good from evil. And now, like I sometimes do, I read these verses in kind of backwards order. I want to drop back to 14 and pick up the real thought. For behold, the Spirit of Christ, mind you here, is given to every man, note that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Now right there it is. Everything that invites to do good. But it goes on, further making it plain, and persuadeth to believe in Christ. There is things in the world today that might appear good. We are told very plainly in the Scripture that the devil can appear as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So how careful we must be. But in all this, the thing that goes hand in hand, not only enticing to do good, but to persuade to believe in Christ. They all intertwine, and that's the way it should be. Wherefore, in verse 15, ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God, if you do this by the power and gift of Christ. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil, this is on the other side of the picture, it persuades men to do evil, and believe not in Christ, and there is enough of that too, and deny him and serve not God, then you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. Now we go back to another scripture that I said had a parallel. Those who would commit things of abominable nature, and those who wouldn't even blush when they did them. For after this manner doth the devil work. For he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. So I already read the others. We know the way we must judge, and it must be done with the power and gift of Christ. Going back again to a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5. You might think I'm doing a bit of jumping around, but it is for a purpose in verse 6. So in all this knowledge that we have, the way to judge outlined clearly before us, the manner of it that we are to judge, we also have outlined before us of different things that will transpire in a definite set dispensation of time, called the time of the end, the last days. There's a lot of different names referencing it. A time that just precedes that, called the latter days. So here is a verse. Therefore, let us not sleep, because the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. At night, people supposedly, from all normal ways of life, are sleeping. I know some work and some spend all night and other things, but then this is neither here nor there. It's considered a time of sleep, and the thief comes when you least expect it. And here it says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, be aware, be alert to all these things that are prophesied, because they will take place in every detail, just like the prophets of old said they would. And incidentally, we're living in a day when a lot of this prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. All has not yet been fulfilled by no means, but it can come quickly. There is a statement made, if he didn't shorten the days, there would be no flesh left. And I really believe in the full definition of that term, it means that much will take place in a short time. And you and I are living in a great day for sure. Because many of these things are taking place right before our eyes, which I shall bring out to your attention today. I do this for your information, that we might be aware and alert, that we might awake and know that we must serve God, because there is the one we must put our trust in. I'd like to turn now over to the 24th chapter of Matthew, and this is one that we have read time and time again. This is found in verses 37 through 44. And verse 36, so first says, "But of that day and hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So actually, "of that day and hour knoweth no man." The only one that really knows the exactness of it is the Father in heaven. So I'm not trying to pinpoint any exact day. But we are told when the spring comes and certain trees put forth their tender branches, you know that spring is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things happening, know that it's near, even at your door. So again, note these things carefully. And what I bring today isn't to try to scare people or anything of this nature, but I want us to be alert and know that certain things are taking place, and that we do have a duty as believers in Jesus Christ this day. We have a duty to prepare ourselves. And if we prepare ourselves, we might be instrumental in the hands of God in reaching out and helping others to prepare. Because really, the only true hope is in Jesus Christ and God. We cannot trust in all the armament that this United States of America and Russia and all of China and all other nations of the world may amass. Those people may think they can trust in the various armament, but the really only true trust is in God. The really only true hope and the only salvation is through them. Verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And here is a verse that has several different, maybe applications. I would like to take an application that isn't even written here in verse 38. I want to enlarge on that as well. Because it says, "as in the days of Noah." And I believe that also applied to the things that happened right before the flood. They list some of them in verse 38, but they didn't list them all. And I want to turn over to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. And I was just going to tell you a few things there, but I feel that I should maybe read about 3 verses there. I want to read verses 5 and 11 and 12. "Now this was in the days of Noah, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." That's number one. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Can you imagine a people in such a condition as that? The thoughts of their heart were evil continually, and it was great wickedness that was upon the face of the earth. And yet Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." Now just apply that, if you will, to our earth today. And if you would, just ponder a few moments and think back a few years, especially you who are older, and see of the tremendous change there has been. Of the change, there's only been the tremendous change in only 5 years of attitudes of people, of things that have been published, and of things that have been depicted upon the screen, and different things of this nature. There is a great change that has taken place in just the last 5 years. There has been a change that has especially been taking place since World War II, and much of it is not for the better. Verse 11 and 12. Here's another thing to me. How it fits our earth today, it fit those people back there. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now that was a condition those people found themselves in, corruption and violence. And really, we only know of a little of the corruption and violence today. We read of some of it. But if we really knew what was going on in secret, underhanded ways, it would be frightening. Of the underworld characters and what they do to bleed this nation. Every person in this nation is being bled, directly or indirectly. Maybe those in this room are not directly putting into the coffers of the underworld, but we're doing it indirectly because the very shoes we buy, many of them are higher because they had a hand in it. And I could go on and on. They have a place in food, a way of jacking up the price of food and many other items. They're getting rich and live lavishly, but all their riches will not sustain them in the days ahead. No matter what you may amass in a worldly fortune, it will not sustain you in the days ahead. You might have billions or tens of billions, and they'll mean nothing. And God looked upon the earth that was back before the flood, and beheld it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So, again, this should tell us something. Ye who are the children of light. It should tell you something today who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Should it not tell you something? Does not that carry a message for each one of you? Going into verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, if you really analyze this, see, they weren't aware of it. Even to the last very moment, they weren't aware of it. So we better avail ourselves of these scriptures and become aware of what is taking place upon the face of this earth. It didn't mean that it was wrong to marry and give in marriage, but they were doing that right up, just like is being done today. They were eating and drinking. And of course, if this is just normal beverage, it's fine. If it's alcoholic beverages that causes men to become intoxicated, it's another story. But this is a part of our day. There is a definite parallel to what preceded the flood. And God wiped off all but 8 souls because of the great wickedness, the corruption, and the violence that was there. And he's promised again to bring destruction upon the face of this earth, but the second time will be by fire. Then 2 shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. It looks like some will even be in the field at that time. 2 women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know what hour your Lord doth come. None of us know. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And how true that is. If anybody knew tonight, at 2 o'clock, and a thief was going to enter your house, how many of you would be sound asleep? You wouldn't be sound asleep. You'd be there waiting for him. He'd get a surprise. But this isn't the way it goes. Those fellers are masters at deception and cleverness, and so they strike, the thieves do, when you least expect it. When you're not alert, and when we're sleeping, even though we awaken, we think, wow, we could just take care of ourselves. Don't kid yourself. You're only half awake when you really wake. It's hard to get everything in proper order, isn't it? And I know this, and Bob can say this too, and other firemen can. And that is, you can be called out of a dead sleep in the middle of the night, and it's hard to get organized. You have to try to do it, but it takes you a few moments. We just aren't put together that way. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I would like to turn to 2 Peter, because Peter also spoke of our day. 3rd chapter and verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's one of the things that will be in the last days. Walking after their own lusts. Just pinpoint it and analyze it with our own day. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? You know, there was a time prophesied that Jesus Christ would be born upon the face of this earth. And when some thought the day was past for the sign to be given, the new stars and all that, they set aside a time that they was going to kill all these believers, these silly old believers that thought that this was a real thing. And even it did cause a lot of distress to the believers. They was really wondering a bit theirself. But Jesus Christ indicated that very night He would come into the world. And then all these things that they had designed in their evil mind to destroy the believers came to naught. And can you imagine their feeling? Well, right here, there are those who say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, yes, everything's just like it's always been. And I've heard others say that. But we don't dare kid ourselves unto such a false security as this. And I'm not saying how soon, and yet I intend to bring out many things that really depict a lot of things that are taking place in the very day we live in. I would like to turn to 2 Timothy. Many of these are scriptures that you've heard all of us use at one time or another. The 3rd chapter and the first 5 verses I would like to read a bit about this day. Now Paul of old looked down through the dispensation of time and knew events that would take place in a very definite time. And this is the first verse. This is what he said. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And all too often we think of perilous times as fire and brimstone and earthquake and hail and all these kind of things, earth and wind and these. But Paul spoke of some other things that was perilous. I'll speak about the others a bit later, because they're nonetheless real, the same as these are real. And so he said, the first thing he mentioned, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's one of the first things. And how true that is. Man, one of the things that was way back was covetousness. And man is becoming all too often today a lover of one's own self and coveting what someone else may have. Or abilities. Or riches. Or any number of things. Another reason we find Jesus Christ saying in Matthew 24, I guess it's 11 or 12, I can't recall which verse, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Not normal as it once was. On down here we have, well, I'll get to that when I get to it, a thing of unnatural affection. Well, let's read a bit further here. There would be those in the last days who would be boasters and proud. And we, who have the Book of Mormon, have a record of two great nations that rose and fell because of pride. First, the Jaredites, and secondly, the Nephites. And these scriptures were written that this, O ye Gentiles, today might know what happened to another people when they become lifted up in pride. And the Gentile nation today better beware and take heed. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And I want you to note, after World War II, it seemed like there was a new trend in education. More of letting children do their own thing and figure out what they should do. And as a result, we're reaping today this very statement here that really didn't exist nearly as much so before the war and in times past. As a young boy growing up, this did not exist to that extent. There was some, but not only a little bit compared to what is happening today. And this is one of the things of our day. And the adults are responsible, at least for a part of it. They have been too permissive in the generation we live within. They've allowed too much, thinking all too often that they didn't want their kids to have to go through all the hardship and trials that happened back in some very tough times. But in all this, again, I believe the reasoning of many was in error. Because today, we're reaping the fruits of what has happened just a few years back. Unthankful and unholy would be a part of our day. And we got a responsibility to thank God for what we have. When He watches over us during the night, we got a responsibility to thank Him. You know, I had a little interesting thing happen to me the other day at this little pen here. And I really never dreamed to find it again. I had been pulling some weeds out in an orchard, and it was over a big area, and I discovered I'd lost my pen. And I went out and went to, well, I'll make it a matter of prayer and go out and look. And I moved several bunches of weeds, and boy, that was a hopeless task. And I knelt down and even prayed to the Lord that this is like hunting for a needle in a haystack, and prayed that I might find it. And I looked over in a crease, and there it lay. A little thing, but yet it was real. I don't believe I ever would have found it by myself, because it wasn't where I'd even pulled any leaves. It got knocked over there, and I was little aware of it. But it shows that God can be with us in some little insignificant things. And yet, all things are real when we rely upon Him. Anyway, I did thank Him to be able to find it. And many times He's helped me find things, and it seems like as we grow older, we lay things down, and it was real plain when we laid it, but we just laid it there as we walked by, and then we hunt for an hour wondering why or where we laid it in a certain area. It shows us that we got to be even alert of what we do with the sides of our day. Not only would there be unholiness upon the face of the earth in the last days, or will there be, but it says there will be those without natural affection. And go back up here and said, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And this without natural affection is something that concerns me deeply. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What once was a true love, but maybe between parents and children, all too often is not there today. Maybe between friends, that true love is not there. And maybe it could even happen that it isn't there as much as it should be, even among those who are brethren in the Church of Christ. Is it or is it not? Do our works show that we aren't really doing what we really should? if we could weigh ourselves today and see how God is weighing us in the same light, have we really done all we could do? Well, anyway, we have to be careful. But the thing called without natural affection is hurting our nation today. As Paul of old spoke of those men with men doing that which was unseemly, and likewise women with women. And today, this act has become a part of a society in the way of condoning what is taking place. Not all, by no means, but many are condoning such acts as this. And it says, without natural affection would be one of the things of the last days. And it wasn't many years ago that such would be dealt with rather severely. But today, in many places, you can't discriminate in ways of employment. People are considered normal, as a matter of fact, who live this way. Another one of the lies of the devil, you better believe it, it's nothing more than a lie of the devil. It's deception. Because it's unnatural, and it's not the way that God and Christ intended for man and women to live. In no way. But it's becoming a part of our society. In fact, there are those that think it's kind of funny when they depict such characters as this, maybe on TV or such other things as this, or in books or other places, wherever they do it. But it is wrong, and no amount of rationalizing can make wrong right. Even unto making such, in some places, ministers of God, supposedly at least. So we must be careful. We must awaken out of the awful situation that this world has been found in. Truce breakers, I said that would come up shortly. This would be one of the evils of the last days. False accusers, there would be those that would be incontinent. And we know that the thing called adultery and such is taking its toll today, besides all these other inordinate acts. Fears and despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And again, this thing heady is violent. And didn't I say in verse 6:11 in Genesis that there was an earth of great violence and corruption? See, there is a parallel in all these things. And how true it is, our nation is becoming more and more a lover of pleasure than a lover of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There will be those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, and say, if God does a miracle today, believe it not, because he don't have that power today. He's given his power to man. Man is pretty learned. Along with this, he's getting pretty conceited. But in all of it, there is the cry of repentance and turning to him. I'd like to turn to 3 Nephi, the 7th chapter. And this particular reading follows verse 31 that I want to really bring out. It's on down in verse 34. But verse 31 tells us of the day when a certain thing would come forth, and it would be in the latter days, and that's this Book of Mormon. It would come forth that truth would come unto the Gentiles. And it would show that there would be those who would reject this book, and such as this. But I really want to read verse 34. And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, see that? And shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations. Who do you think that's really referring to there? I believe it's the United States of America. And of course, it's granted. Gentiles all over the world has many of these things applied to them. But right here, specifically, this is talking about a nation who was founded upon God-fearing principles, mind you. And many of these things are no longer there that once was. And above all, the people of the whole earth, that's talking about the United States, and shall be filled with all manner of lies. And how true this is. People lie one to another. Even responsible leaders lie one to another. And even in detente, they lie one to another. And of deceits, we're living in a day of deception. That's why we must be aware and alert of mischiefs and all manner of hypocrisy. People teaching things that are wrong. Falsely assuming they're something when they aren't. And murders, and this is becoming more and more, and priestcrafts, those who would preach with priestly knowledge or skill, but what they would preach, it would be mostly taking away from instead of adding to or to detract from. And whoredoms and secret abominations. Now these are some more of the things that would say that would be in a certain day. And it said if these things continue, he would bring the fullness of his gospel from among them. And then the cry was that the children of Israel, that his gospel would go unto them. But there is one thing here. If the Gentiles, in verse 38, will return unto the Lord and repent, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel. And in that instance, he would not suffer his people who were the house of Israel to go through among them and to tread them down. But if they fail to do this, this very thing will happen in detail. I would like to turn to the book of Luke. I wanted to bring out a few other things, the 21st chapter. And in this particular instance, these things too pertain to other things of the time of the end that I would like to touch beside all these other things I've touched upon. There are so many things that I can't even begin to go over them all today. But I felt, as I put this together, that these are things that need to be brought again before our eyes, that we need to ponder upon and think upon. And this is in Luke 21:9. And I'm not going to read everything here. I want to read 9 through 11, though. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. That's an odd statement to make, isn't it? I know people are terrified of that because over in Matthew it said all these things are just the beginning of the sorrows. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And these wars and commotions have been coming to pass. We went through some great wars as a nation. Then Jesus said unto them, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, how true this is today, that nation is rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The prestige, if you want to use that word, or position that the United States once held, they held the United States in high regard, practically all the world. Today, they hold the United States in a different light. Most nations are opposed to this nation. Even those who are our allies, I wonder how close they really are sometimes. As said, nation would rise against nation, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. Now, Matthew also spoke when he wrote of Christ's account of this. Of the earthquakes in divers places. This mentioned great earthquakes. And we think upon this, of the actual destruction today. An earthquake packs a lot of power. But the great fear of peoples today, more than an earthquake, is the atomic bomb and nuclear fission and hydrogen bombs and all such things as this. But yet all these together would not gender the power of one earthquake, if the Lord so saw fit to cause one to erupt. I recently read an article on the San Andreas Fault, and I don't know how many of the others read about this. It may have been in the paper. I really don't know where I read it now. It's just been recently. And it centered around the little town of Palmdale, California, north of Los Angeles. And this city is sitting on top of the San Andreas Fault. And the people live there knowing that they're right where they could just, that would be it. But those there said, well, others in the Mideast had to worry about tornadoes, and it is assumed to take the fear or possible happening of an earthquake. And yet that San Andreas Fault stretches from one end of California to the other. And if it should suddenly shake enough, it could kill millions and millions. It could do it. And what this particular writer was trying to show there, that these great earthquakes happen in kind of a cycle of so many years apart. And already it is past time for another great earthquake in that area. So just one old bee, I will not say. There might be one through here one day that would split our valley from one side to the other. We know that there was a time in the days of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ where in this whole area was racked because of gigantic earthquakes. Maybe this state more than any other place. Well, California, with that San Andreas Fault, was pretty bad. But yet, this country here has more mountains. It said before those earthquakes, the more part of the ground and rocks were in one solid mass, but hereafter after shall be in broken fragments and seams. And all we have to do is look out upon the mountains of Colorado. And in some places, it looks like brickwork, broken fragments and seams. It's terrific what an earthquake did, and what many will say, well, look what the Colorado River wore down. And all they're doing is the Colorado River is just wearing where that gigantic crack came about as a result of this earthquake. It's plain enough when we analyze all the scripture. He knows of what is taking place and what will take place in a particular day, including these great earthquakes and famines and pestilences. It seems like this is a year of pestilence upon different plant life. There is another thing that I would like to read here of our day that pertains. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks, in verse 16, and friends. And some of you shall lay cause to be put to death. So here's another thing, the trust that once was in families, and this, in many instances today, is not there like it once was. There will be even those of brethren who will turn against their own brothers. So how careful we must be and alert of these things and aware of what is taking place. There is another scripture in Micah that I won't turn to, but it said a man's enemies are those of his own house. A lot of times we think of our enemies as those who are totally and completely opposed to us. Think differently in everything. Jesus Christ went back among his own people that he was raised among, and couldn't even do any mighty work among them, and he marveled at their unbelief. Because they didn't think that a guy as common as Christ could do any great thing. Well, I have three other verses, 34 through 36, and then I believe we'll draw our service to a close. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. And a moment here, I would like us to think upon this. Surfeiting is excesses or an overabundant supply. Drunkenness, which is becoming a part of our society, and the cares of this life is certainly taking its toll. When we find it analyzed in this light, the parable of the sower, the thorns were likened unto the cares of this light and the deceitfulness of riches. And the deceitfulness of riches likewise is taking its toll. So how careful we must be. Because it said the people of a certain day would be involved and a part of the cares of this life. And we have to be careful that we too do not get involved to the extent that they take away our time. Because it does affect our world, our nation. It is affecting our Church of Christ today, the cares of this life. Whether we like it or whether we don't. And in some instances more, and in some instances less. Because if we're involved in all these things and are not alert, it's said that that day shall come on us unaware, for as a snare shall it come on all they who dwell upon the earth. And then it says in 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.